Now, civilization arose perhaps 5,000 years ago. Perhaps 5,000 years ago. For just a moment, let's build a little perspective. The Earth is perhaps 4 billion years old. Homo sapiens sapiens, people like us, perhaps 40,000 years old. Our basic human ancestors, perhaps 100,000 years old. Our remotest ancestors in East Africa, perhaps 1 million years old. That already puts that civilized period into some perspective, doesn't it? Let's imagine 4 billion years as a calendar of a single year. So everything begins on January 1st. If we want to be concerned with, we want to study the civilized period, which is not surprising. We're humans. We're interested in ourselves. We're interested in the civilized period. It's a few minutes before midnight on December 31st. In our imaginary calendar. I think that perspective is humbling. Nevertheless, however humbled we may be, we're going to plunge forward and talk about that civilized period, at least in the West. Okay. So West is a little messy. Civilization, a little less messy, but still fairly complicated as a proposition. What about foundations? Surely that word seems easy. Well, maybe not. For example, if we're going to talk about foundations, are we interested in the first place in origins? Well, of course we are. But only in origins? Are we only interested in how everything started? And we have no interest in its life, its vitality, its vigor, its span over time? Everything grows, everything changes, everything evolves. Nothing stays the same. So origins will certainly figure in our story, but foundations cannot be equated with origins. Foundations got to be bigger than that. Well, we might say durability is important. Sure it is. Absolutely. Durability is important. Some things really have staying power. They've been around a long time. We've studied them a long time. They have influenced us for a long time. But durability is tricky. I mean, if we poke at this, for example, from a couple of different angles, we could say the oldest continuously functioning institution in the world is the papacy, the head of the Roman Catholic Church. But about 20% of the world's population is Catholic. The Athenian polis lasted in its highest manifestation less than a century, its golden age barely more than a generation. But it has fired imaginations for 2,500 years. Rome's greatest legacy, perhaps, was her law. The most influential, certainly, legal system that the world ever created. And yet relatively few people today live, strictly speaking, under Roman law. So what does durable mean? How exactly do we understand this phenomenon of durability? Foundations may seem somehow to us to be connected to revivals. In other words, something was there at the start, was the foundation, and then we revive it periodically. Well, think of Greek or classical revival architecture. At the dawn of the United States, Greek and Roman revival architecture was very prominent. And why was it prominent? Well, perhaps those people liked it. But more importantly, it made a powerful ideological statement. It was an attempt to attach this new nation to an older history, to an ancient world, to a great tradition, to say, we are not something brand new. We are the best manifestation now of what is richest in the old. Think of postmodern architecture. Very often, we take modernist geometry run amok, pure form and all that, and we put classical details on it, simply to echo an earlier time, an earlier way of thinking. The West has a couple of great movements, the Renaissance, for example, that are fundamentally about reviving the past, taking us back to the past, going back to our roots. Well, exactly what the Renaissance is, we will have occasion to discuss in several lectures later in the course. In the 16th century, the great religious reformers, the Protestant reformers, thought they were recapturing primitive Christianity, not creating something new. Martin Luther didn't say, "Oh, I have a new idea." He said, "Something has been lost, tragically lost. Let us recapture it." Foundations may seem to us somehow related to traditions, but these can be invented and they can be discarded. Tradition is a very complicated matter. Let me give you a couple of perhaps rather amusing examples. Think of those ancient Scottish tartans. How many people have been tempted to buy this or that or the other tartan because it belongs to the ancient clan this or clan that or clan something else? Those things are almost all invented in the 18th century by people surrounding the culture of the great poet Rabbi Burns. Now, Robert Burns and his contemporaries are writing after the Act of Union attached Scotland to Great Britain, and people in Scotland were saying, "Let us make a separate past for ourselves as a way of thinking about a different future." I passed a restaurant the other day with a sign hanging on it that said, "A tradition since 1979. I don't know about you, that doesn't quite measure up to my sense of tradition, but I dare say we know what the person who hung that sign was trying to do. Well, in the next 47 lectures, we're going to proceed through 4,500 years. We'll begin in the ancient Near East, and we'll end with a Western world that is beginning to globalize. What themes will we follow? What questions will we ask? What subjects will engage our attention again and again? Not necessarily in every single lecture, but often. Without being clumsy determinists, we're going to talk about ecology, geography, and climate. Where people lived and what the natural world around them was like is important. Not perhaps determinative, but important.